Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Julie R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 13th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 54 with the first paragraph starting with, "We found too that we had been worshipers." Today's readers are John K. and Gina R. The share ID for Monday, June 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 10033. For this morning's June 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the share ID is 10035. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Julie. Thank you for your service. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovering in Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. I will now ask Deb K. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Deb K., a recovering compulsive overeater from Oregon. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 54 with the first paragraph. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. I will now ask John Kay to begin reading.
Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Excuse my strange voice. Got a bit of a cold. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. What state of mental boosh that used to bring on? Had we not variously worshipped people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves? And then, with a better motive, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or a flower? Who of us has not loved something or somebody? How much did these feelings, these loves, these worships have to do with pure reason? Little or nothing, we saw at last. Were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed? Did not these feelings, after all, determine the course of our existence? It was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith or love or worship. In one form or another, we had been living by faith and little else. it's very always interesting to read this part of the Big Book. You know, I feel like I'm watching Bill here. Trying to coax along, almost like with breadcrumbs, those with little or no faith. It's almost as if he feels, people will be easily spooked away by any mention of what I usually call the G word, you know. And, I can understand this. You know, the whole idea here is the inclusive, not exclusive. And I think that's important. For example, I led a retreat in San Antonio this week, and I always start off retreat by talking for the lowest common denominator when talking about a higher power. Because I think it's easy for those of us who come to a faith within this program to forget there's still those out there finding their way and, those have yet to develop a relationship with a higher power. You know, so I always try to start by talking about how before I could truly develop a connection with a higher power, my understanding, I needed to first deconstruct the higher power that I was given as a child. Now, you know, when it's all said and done, it could be the same higher power you end up with. But I think for me, it's important as an addict in recovery to develop a relationship with that higher power. You know, I don't need a higher power to worship and praise. I mean, my higher power certainly doesn't need it for me. I need one that will, as it says on page 45, help me with my problem. You know, and I think my spiritual awakening was definitely not the burning bush kind that Bill experienced, but more of that educational variety it speaks of than the spiritual experience. You know, as a result, I try to guide people that might be having the same problem with the concept of God. It took me years to get used to the word God and not have it bring back like PTSD memories from my childhood. I try to show the path, take the path I took, which in the beginning started simply with faith in this program. You know, faith with the 12 steps and the 12-step process and faith in this book. And then as time went on, I came to believe in something, you know, that now it's with me every day. It makes my life more peaceful and it's just guiding me and always there. But you can't get there without going from the beginning forward. So With that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Katie G. from Boston.
Gina R.
Dana K.
Gina R. Okay, hold on a second. Katie G. Gina R.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Dana K.
Donna K.
Dana K. Shauna K.
Shoshana K.
Shoshana, Shoshana. Okay, and we'll take one more. Okay, I have five people. Okay. So we'll start with these five. Katie G., go ahead.
Hey, Julie, may I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Good morning, guys. Starting my timer, KDG, recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in Boston. And I just feel like this chapter is so brilliant, and I just love that we're reading it. So what are we talking about? Like, leading up to this point, we're talking about that question, right? God is either everything or he is nothing, right? And so then prior to that, it talked about the God of reason. And it said, Katie, we know that you may or may not believe in God, but like you've been worshiping your God of thinking. And I was like, yeah, like I'm an intellect, you know, up until this point, I've been using my intellect to solve my food problem. And yeah, guys, yeah, Bill, yeah, God, you're right. You know, like I'm still agnostic, right? But like, I see what you're saying. You got me. Okay. And so then it's like, well, you think you're still agnostic? Okay, well, let's take this one step further. You're not a worshiper, right? Well, here you go, KDG. I mean, how many times have I worshiped myself, right? Like the KDG show. All you people, you need to obey me. You need to do what I want. And then, oh my gosh, like look at the sunset, the sea, a flower. Like I'm a highly emotional, sentimental person, right? Like highly engaged. And it says to me, KDG, I know you're still counting yourself out. I know you still think you don't have a God or you don't worship, but like, buddy, how much does that have to do with pure reason? You are a worshiper, okay? So like, I know you think you haven't been living by faith, girl, but in one form or another, you've been living by faith and little else. And so once more, what step two does for me is it convinced me, it beat me down to the pummel and says, dude, like there is a power greater than you. You are in this. And the reason this is so vital for me is because I never thought I counted. I thought y'all had this great, amazing, beautiful concept of God that was clear and highly defined and there for you, and I didn't count, right? But all I knew going into step two is there was a God, and that person looking back at me in the mirror was not it. And the purpose of We Agnostics is to show me time and time again that I am a worshiper. I do live by faith, and I may not want to see it yet, but like this brilliant text proves to me again, like you don't have to conceptualize some beautiful thing to have a beautiful thing be part of you. And I'll just close with this, like, you know, if a God is cognitively enough for me to understand, then how sad, because my God today is so big, I can't even understand or define it. All I know is it works. And thank you, God. And I will keep showing up one day at a time to see what God has in store for me today, my entire abstinence and working the steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, KDG. Gina R., you're next, followed by Roz G.
Thank you so much, Julie. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body in Colorado. And I just want to welcome any newcomer this morning. I am just over my one-year hump, and this is definitely possible. I want to focus my comments on that third sentence, had we not variously worshiped people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves. And in particular, I'm going to focus on sentiment and ourselves. I had an attitude toward myself where I worshiped my intellect. Problem is, I didn't know that it was it had elements of insanity. And I don't know where I got this, but I'm going to read the 12 steps of insanity. And this is how I live my life for many, many years, even after being in the AA program, but because of the food, I wasn't living in the solution. One, we admitted we were powerless over nothing. We could manage our lives perfectly, and we could manage those of anyone else that would allow it. Two, came to believe that there was no power greater than ourselves, and the rest of the world was insane. Three, made a decision to have our loved ones and our friends turn their wills and their lives over to our care. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of everyone we knew. Five, admitted to the world, whole world at large, the exact nature of their wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to make others straighten up and do right. Seven, demanded others to either shape up or ship out. Eight, made a list of anyone who ever harmed us and became willing to go to any lengths to get even with them all. Nine, got direct revenge on such people whenever possible, except when to do so would cost us our own lives or at the very least a jail sentence. 10, continued to take inventory of others, and when they were wrong, promptly and repeatedly told them about it. 11, sought through nagging to improve our relations with others as we couldn't understand them at all, asking only that they knuckle under and do things our way. 12, having had a complete physical, emotional, and spiritual breakdown as the result of these steps, we tried to blame it on others and to get sympathy and pity in all our affairs. That's how I live my life. And I don't have to do that anymore. Once I released my insane thinking to the higher power that I now know is loving, has purpose, and is benevolent for me and doesn't do things to me, I can actually flip what I just read and actually live in the steps that we read every day. I am so grateful for this program. I am so grateful for each and one of you. And again, for the newcomer, if you're living in what I just read, there is hope. You can do it. You just have to lock arms with us and enter in and take the dive. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. And for those who might have just joined the line, we are reading the first paragraph and commenting on page 54. Roz G., followed by Dana K., and after Shoshana, we're going to have a brief announcement. So go ahead, Roz G.
Good morning. Roz G. in the outdoors, so you may hear some stuff, and then I'll mute. But what I wanted to share on is, as I was hearing all the shares that have helped me this morning, I went ahead and I hope I'm not being repetitive of the first meeting. I didn't listen to it, but to worship, to reverence, to adore, to glorify, to exalt, to revere. And there's a lot of things that I revered and glorified in my non-recovered life. And I revered diets. I thought that the next diet was my higher power. So many books that my shelves are littered with, so many diets, thinking that I could focus and count on and rely on that diet. I could rely on Oprah Winfrey because she had a book and she had so many guests on her show. And Dr. Phil, because he was a psychologist and he wrote books on losing weight and had diet people who wanted to sell their diets. I was trying to think of a better word, but I couldn't. But diet sellers on his show. And all the different powders and just the different programs. I revered those. And then when I came into program, I revered people who were like circuit speakers, people who seem to have a very strong program. And I think they've helped me a lot. But there were times where I would say, okay, I want that person to be my sponsor. And it always fizzled out because I've chosen very strong people, figuring that they would be able to fix my problem. But thank God I have found a solution in the book, that God gave me enough strength to follow it, to practice humility. And I have I want to end my share by saying that I profess to be a Christian, and I based my salvation on faith. There's nothing I could see, but why couldn't I base my recovery or letting go of alcoholic foods on faith, on God. I couldn't do it. And as the opening speaker said, I needed somebody to help me with my problem. And it has been through humility and surrendering to the 12 steps of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. And Dana K, followed by Shoshana K.
Good morning. This is Dana K, recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Thank you, Julie, and all for your service today. I'd like to focus on that last sentence of the paragraph read. It was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith or love or worship. In one form or another, we had been living by faith and little else. So I love what the authors are doing, Bill W. and the rest, that they're building a very eloquent argument for the case of step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Because in and of myself, I don't have the solution. I cannot solve the food problem. I tried and tried my reason, my logic, my willpower. Everything that I tried just did not work. And they say in the book that they have solved the drink problem. And so their solution for the newcomer today is a spiritual solution. It's finding a power greater than yourselves that can restore you to sanity. And gratefully, the book is all inclusive, so you don't have to have my God or anyone else's God, but just something just to come to believe, and that's the beginning, just taking a beginning. So faith for me is, the definition I use is being sure of what I hope for and certain of what I cannot see. And I did. I had a lot of faith. I had faith in some of the wrong things, and the wrong things didn't work. I had faith in myself. I had faith in my diets. I worshipped people, places, things, money. I did all of that the paragraph talked about. I also had a faith in God, and I am also a Christian believer today. And in that faith, it wasn't working, and I didn't understand why. Why didn't my relationship with my loving, forgiving, awesome, powerful God not work? And because the food, it didn't work for me. It wasn't working. And I had to do it through the steps. As I put the action in and did step 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on, the God of my misunderstanding changed. And I came to believe truly and deeply and was able to submit and surrender, as step one talks about, surrendering ourselves. And that's where the hope for me came in. And so then I just want to end with, in the AA 12 and 12, on page 33, that very last sentence that's on step two, it says, true humility and an open mind can lead us to faith. So all we need is humility and an open mind. That's it. And every AA meeting is an assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to Him. And I can't add anything to that. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dana Kay. And after Shoshana Kay's share, we will have John Kay for an announcement. Go ahead, Shoshana.
Hi, good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, great. Thanks so much. Thank you, everyone on the line, for your service. It's Shoshana Kay, recovering in Maryland, and grateful to be on the line this morning. I wanted to share about the last sentence of that paragraph that says, in one form or another, we had been living by faith and not, and little else. And spiritually, I was taught in my life that there's an ability to believe in my spiritual DNA. And what I was doing with that ability was channeling it into the wrong places, into the food, and worshiping the food, and having faith that that next bite of whatever triggered me was going to give me the ease and comfort that I needed at that moment to not be able to have to deal with life. And I really strongly believed that that next bite was going to help me until finally it stopped working and it didn't work anymore for me, the next bite. I wasn't even like enjoying it. It wasn't even fun anymore. And I realized through program, and thank you everyone on this line, that It has to be a power above me and not this food that I was turning into my higher power. And it had to be a God, a power that I call God. And with that, I'm going to pass and thank everybody for letting me share today.
Thank you, Shoshana Kay. And John Kay?
Hey, thanks. I just want to take a moment to turn our attention to a brief convention promo. We are indeed hosting another Vision for You convention this year, just the way Vision for You likes it, the power of the Big Book, weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, and fellowship. Have you registered to save your seat? Don't gamble on this one. It's September, weekend of September 15th through 17th at the Liberty International Airport Marriott Hotel and Convention Center in beautiful Newark, New Jersey. And the details are on the Vision for You website at www.vision4u.info. And just a personal note for those of us who remember the first one, it was a wonderful convention. It was really amazing. And I also remember how it sold out long before it was time. So you don't want to find yourself saying, oh, I can't believe I had a chance to do this and I waited too long. So now back to the compelling Big Book study and back for sharing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, John Kay. And who would like to share on the first paragraph read on page 54?
Ginger C.
Ginger C.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Sherry KB.
Terry H.
Sherry KB. Terry H.
Yes, thanks.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll start with those. Ginger C, followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Ginger C, recovered in Colorado, and thanks for everyone on the line this morning and your service. And, you know, I have spent my whole life worshiping so many outside things because the book tells me clearly I have a spiritual malady. You know, I have this God hole, and I've been trying my whole life to just fill it with all these outside ways, you know, and my very first friend was this thing called food. And then many more things built after the food. And, you know, it's just a miracle. I always said when I turned 50, I wanted to be addiction free because I started with one addiction and put that down. And then it sort of like became this whack-a-mole machine. You know, one goes down, one pops up. One goes down, one pops up. And, you know, it's amazing. I'm going to be turning 50 here in a little while. And today I can say I am addiction free. There is no longer any effect outside from my higher power. And what a miracle. You know, who would have ever thought? I never thought I could put the food down, let alone the second one, which was the compulsive shopping. That one was money. Oh, my God, no way. And it's happening. It's happening today because it's all about surrender and how free do I want to be. And I have this God hole again. Nothing fills it but a higher power. I can keep going outside this delusion, these lies, thinking that this is going to do it or if I only manage well. And, you know, thank goodness these addictions beat us up and get us to that state. So, you know, we're either leaning in and staying close and connected or we're leaning out, you know, outside the circle from the higher power. So, again, I'm just so grateful my effect is coming from this God today, and I pray a day at a time that I stay in this fit spiritual condition because I don't want to return to these addictions. They're not kind. They're not loving, and they progress, and they go deeper, and I'm just so grateful I got off the elevator early, too, with this final frontier one because I didn't take it down like the food. I took the food down below the elevator shaft. It kept digging. It was, like, relentless where the food took me. But it was a long friend. It started early in childhood. It was hard to say goodbye. I just wanted to have my cake and eat it too, and I finally realized you can't do it. You got to say goodbye. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger C. Kathleen O, followed by Sherry KB.
Good morning, Julie. Thank you for your service, and hi, everybody on the line. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. It was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith or love or worship. In one form or another, we had been living by faith and little else. And, you know, all I know is I never thought I worshiped the food, but I sure thought the food solved my problem. So I guess that was worshiping the food. You know, the food was my solution, and yet it wasn't. It never worked. It always defied me, but it had me in its grip. I could not put it down. I could not let go of it. All my willpower, all my self-knowledge, I couldn't put it down once I started. And when I was able to do it every now and then, I always picked it back up because it just had a stronghold on me. So when I came into program and started looking at, okay, all I need to know is there's something bigger than me, and it's not me. It certainly wasn't the food. I had proven that for decades. And so I found a concept of a God of my understanding. And not only was it was just so peaceful that, you know, to be able to put the food down and not fight it and then go through these steps and really take the action to just thoroughly go through these steps. You know, today, when things don't go my way, I don't have to worship the food or worship myself and think I know it all. I think everyone should be doing things my way. I can just go in and, you know, touch bases with the power, higher power of my understanding, and know that there's love and kindness and beauty and truth and all that can be inside me. And that's what I need to put out there in the world and not have things my way all the time. And so it's really nice when things aren't going my way, I can draw my higher power. And you know, I happily don't eat today. It's really a miracle and amazing. And you know, jump in. I mean, just take the leap of faith. If you're new, it works for so many people when so many other things never did. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And Sherry KB, you're next, followed by Terry H.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning, everybody. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, Julie, and everyone on the line. Love what's being shared this morning. And, you know, the first thing I noticed that Bill seems to do with this book is he wants to bring home a point, and he keeps reiterating something. And so what I've noticed in this paragraph is there's 5 times he talks about the word worship. And so what I'm hearing is that what I see in this paragraph is he's saying, yeah, we did it too. We also worshiped. We worshiped things that were not we did worship love, and we worshiped the sunset and all that stuff, but we also worshiped things that weren't good for us and that they didn't help us. But we also had the capacity for faith and love. And so what it's telling me is that I had the capacity for faith and love, maybe on for people and love and whatnot, but there's things that I had faith in, too, that weren't good for me. That I need to change. And so it's saying is if you had this faith, if you have this capacity for faith, for love, then you can have the capacity for faith in a power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity. And why not choose something that is better for you instead of for me, like when I worshiped the food, I hate to say it, that I worshiped the food, and then I was worshiping the problem. And now, since I've been recovered and I put the food down, I worship my higher power, and I worship the way these steps help me in my life. And it's a much better faith to believe in than it was to believe in the food for me. And I was looking at the word faith, and it says firm belief in something for which there is no logical, material, or absolute proof. Belief, trust, and loyalty to God or any set of beliefs or principles. Belief in the truth, value, or trustworthiness of an idea, principle, person, or thing, reliance, and hope. And so that's what it's telling me, is that I can have reliance and hope and faith and love in something greater than me that's outside of me, you know, that's not, you know, food or diets or money, property, and prestige. It's talking about a faith that I can worship within my higher power that can get me through the steps and to take the action of living in the steps, that is my solution for my faith. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And Terry H., you're next.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Oh, man. I was a worshiper of many things, most definitely. Food behaviors, you know, possessions that I had, money, body size, you know, people, places, and things. Duke basketball, I was a worshiper of. You know, so many things that I, you know, I know today I was a worshiper of. You know, food, I would push it away and compulsively overeat. You know, my food behaviors, all my thoughts and motives throughout the day were around my disease. And, you know, I would give into it every time, you know, respect it. And it had a huge control over me. And, you know, anything I tried to do to go against that, I was definitely defeated. I wasn't able. I failed every time. And, you know, and I kept going back to it. My disease controlled every area of my life. I was powerless. You know, I like what a fellow shared earlier on the line. You know, I was powerless, I was hopeless, but I was not helpless. And I had that little grain of willingness to believe that, I could not do it. There had to be a higher power. There had to be something external of myself that could help me through this process. And, you know, working that the steps, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, in that order, you know, helped me, you know, brought me to that place where, you know, I understood with clarity, you know, that I couldn't do it. And it can only be done by a higher power. No reason, logic, thought. It's definitely a miracle for me in my life today. You know, I was in Best Buy on Friday morning. My son graduated from high school, and he wants a new laptop. And I was looking at laptops in Best Buy. And as soon as I touched one, the security alarm went off. And my hands went straight up, you know. I didn't do it. I don't know what happened. You know, you could pat me down, you know, in kind of a joking way. And that was what it was like for me. When I, you know, came to step two, came to believe that a higher, you know, a greater power outside of myself would restore me to sanity. I threw my hands up, you know, pat me down. I have nothing. I've done everything. I've tried everything. I'm done. And with that, you know, my life has opened up to so many possibilities. I am so grateful today for my recovery in the 12 steps. And the tools that I have today to live my life and be present in all of it, feel all of it. Because many, many, many years I was numb, I was depressed, I was, you know, lonely, isolated. And, you know, I don't want to do that today. And it takes work, it takes action. And that first action, you know, was to turn, you know, for me to surrender. And today I believe, I surrender, and I trust. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry H. And who would like to share on the first paragraph on page 54?
Hi, this is Linnea B. May I share?
Yes, Linnea. Anyone else?
Sue G.
Jody EQ.
Okay, let's take these three. I think that might do it. Okay, Linnea B., go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. Hi, I'm Linnea, a compulsive overeater recovered. I love this paragraph. You know, he has been making one heck of a case, you know, for the whole chapter about why it makes sense to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And, you know, I was really afraid to believe in a power greater than myself that would, you know, that was interested in me in my life, that I could rely on, that I could turn to, you know, that could fill that hole within me that had been empty my whole life. and just scared to death, and that scared to death to hope that there was even a possibility. And on top of that fear of being, you know, that maybe God had rejected me, fear that I wasn't good enough to admit myself into a program that would ask me to rely on a higher power. Those are really sort of primal fears underneath my ego, you know, underneath my intellect that said, oh, well, you can't believe in a power, you know, that's so ethereal and blah, blah, blah. But the intellect on top of the fear underneath. And as he's making the case, you know, he just pounds it home to us. You know, by the time he gets this far, you know, and starts to describe that, hey, actually, you know, you do have faith, Linnea. You have faith in this and this and this. You do have that capacity. And it's just a matter of making a decision if you just want to have, you already have the capacity to have faith. You know, and you can just make a decision to have a faith in a power greater than yourself, since all of these other people have done it. And it seems to make, you know, it's the central fact of their lives. You know, and to think that there might be hope through a faith and a belief and the actions that go with believing in a higher power, to think that there might be hope for me to live a sane life, a healthy life, in terms of a healthy body weight and a healthy relationship with food, where I wasn't just scared to death every time I sat down to eat about what was going to happen. That is miraculous. And so this paragraph is telling me, you know, hey, you can. Faith or love or worship, you know, you've been having that. And you can have it on a higher power now on this program. And you can be rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence. Anyway, very happy to be here. I love this meeting, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Linnea B. Sue G., followed by Jody EQ.
Good morning. This is Sue G. from Michigan, recovered by the grace of God. I almost didn't share because of how I want to share about how I worshiped. How many times did I? Oh, by the way, I am a Christian. But how many times did I go out after a rain looking for a rainbow? How many times did I stare out the window during a thunderstorm, just loving it? I remember my dad telling me that the angels were bowling. How many times did I stop and smell the rose that was in the vase that I cut out from the yard and brought in? How many times did I do those things? I worship the things that the Creator gave me, provided for me. But was I worshiping the Creator himself? No. And that's why my religion didn't work. That's why faith in God, the way I worshiped him, didn't work. Because I wasn't worshiping the God, the Creator of Step 7. My Creator God. I was worshiping all the things, the mountains, nature. And now I am so glad to have been able to by going through the steps, and especially step 11. I know we're only on step 2, but especially step 11 brought me so much closer to my Creator. So now that I can still enjoy, but I don't worship the things he gives me. I worship him. And that's what keeps me sane most of the time. And that's what keeps me abstinent. 99.9%. Sometimes I'll pick up something that isn't red food, but it's just one more thing of something that, you know, and I have to confess that sometimes I do, and I do tell my sponsors when I've picked up one extra ounce of something. But I love the things that God has given me. But I love God much more. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Sue G. And Jody EQ, you're next.
Thank you, Julie. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody EQ, gratefully recovered in California. So I'm thinking, what have I worshipped? Certainly food. But also, I think most of all, I have worshipped my will, what I thought I needed and what I thought I wanted. From an early age, I would say 9 or 10, I got it into my head that I wanted to live on a farm. And I wasn't going to be happy until I could live on a farm. And I drove my poor husband crazy because I was never happy. I was like the fisherman's wife who never had enough, who never got what she wanted and was always complaining. And still today, I have to give up my will and seek God's will for my life. What would you have me be, God? What would you have me do? I don't want to be a victim of the delusion any longer that I can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I only manage well. I want God to be the manager of my life today. I want him to be my employer, my father, my director, because I am incapable of wresting satisfaction and happiness out of this world by managing well. My life is unmanageable, left to my own accord. So just for today, one more day with you, I'm turning my will and my life over to the care of God, and I am praying for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. And that seems to be working very well for me today. Just for today, I have what I need. I have more than I need. I am blessed with all kinds of wonderful relationships in and out of the program in my family, including my ex-husband. We're on very good terms today, and I'm very grateful. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody EQ. We have time for one more share.
Joanne L.?
Joanne L., go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. It's Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovering in Massachusetts. I just want to give a shout out, you know, to my higher power, in which I do call God. You know, I'm from the Ocean State. That's where our state of Rhode Island is called, the Ocean State. And I love to go to the beach. It's just one of my favorite places in the whole wide world. And when I go, you know, I get in touch with my God there. I know that somebody made that big ocean. And I just love it so much. And I am home recovering from surgery. This is my third surgery on the same foot, and I am staying with a sister of mine in Massachusetts who's taking care of me. And every day that I look out her windows, today is the second week that I have not been able to go out of the house because I'm non-weight-bearing. And so when I look outside, her view is absolutely beautiful. It's all these green trees and bushes and flowers. And I just know when I sit in a chair and look out, I just pray to God, you know, every day that I'm so blessed, you know, that I have a sister to take care of me and to be where I am today instead of being alone. And, you know, I always had faith. I was brought up on faith. But I'll tell you, being in this program and doing this process and being in the 12 steps, you know, it just has proven to me that I can depend on my God anytime, anywhere, any place. And I just wanted to share that. I get very nervous sharing. So I thank you very much for this meeting, and thank you for letting me do service this morning. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. It is now time to close our meeting. I'd like to thank everyone who shared, and we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Gina R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.